So you can turn to Luke 24, but I'm going to read out of Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me. He cocked His ear and leaned over and wanted to hear me. He was interested in my cry. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Hallelujah. Out of the miry clay where I was stuck and couldn't get out by myself. And He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my goings. He put me on a plain path. And He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see that. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Well, there's our testimony that we just talked about, isn't it? I'm serious that when I saw to read this psalm about a half hour ago, I had no idea I was going to say what I just said about the nation and about evangelism. But here it is. Here's my testimony. Is that He brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He's put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God, and many shall what? Huh? Many shall see it. And what? Fear. And shall, finally, trust in the Lord. Well, there's your game plan. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's just recognize and begin to praise God that He pulled you up out of the miry clay and out of a horrible pit. And that He set your feet upon a rock and established your goings, and He put a new song in your heart. Praise to our God, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust and respects not the proud, nor such as turns aside to listen to lies. Amen. Hallelujah. How good is our God? How good is our God? Psalm 40. You can read that. Amen. Now I'm going to start out with chapter 24, and I'm going to pull up to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus here, and just as we read, all right? Many of you have, of course, we covered the resurrection last week, and this will just lead up to it out of the book of Luke rather than out of the book of John. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre. Now, who these they were the women who followed Him, if you back up slightly into the last chapter, and they followed after, and behold the sepulchre, how His body was laid, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now, chapter 24, the first day of the week, early in the morning, they, those women with the spices and such, came to the sepulchre, the spices which they prepared, and certain others came with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? This is, chapter 24, Luke, verse 5. End of the verse. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but He is risen. Remember how He spoke to you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered His words. You know, a lot of times you find out you don't like to hear certain things that are being told you about what's going to happen, especially if it seems unpleasant. And Jesus and the stranger will begin to bring that up as we proceed through this passage. Now He says, What's that word there in chapter 6, in verse 6? He says, he's not here, but he's risen. What's that word? Remember. Everybody say remember. It's important to remember, isn't it? Remember what Jesus said. A lot of times we have things that, things crop up in the middle of our face and we don't remember what Jesus said. We just, what's happening in front of our eyes is what takes precedence. But Jesus says, remember what I said. Amen? So that's your deliverance, is remembering what Jesus said. Not what's happening to you today. But remember what he said. He said, we're going to go to the other side. He said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be crucified, but rise the third day. He said many things to remind you that you're okay. To remind you that when you're in Christ Jesus, you have everything. In John chapter 17, he prayed for them that they would remember these things. That they would know who they are and whose they are. Amen? That they would not forget that they belong to Jesus. I and him and they and me, me and them and you, all of us and you and Father. That's it. Amen? You are in Christ. You are in God. Verse 8 says in Luke 24, he says, and they remembered his words. When they reminded him. When the angels reminded them. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told the things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. Oh, silly women. They're just hoping to see Jesus. How many see that the women were the first good newsers? Amen? The first evangelists. First ones that told of the resurrection of the dead. And their words seemed to the disciples as idle tales. And they believed them not. It was pretty clear, isn't it? And they believed them not. Ah, guys are crazy. Got up too early. Went to bed too late. But verse 12, then arose Peter. He didn't believe, but he decided to go check it out. Thank God for Peter. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulchre. Stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes and laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. So there you have the resurrection and the report of the resurrection. And meanwhile, on the way to Emmaus, verse 13. And behold, two of them that same day went to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about three score furlongs, about 60 furlongs. That helps you. And they talked together of all the things that had happened. You know, how many know when things happen that are not good, not fun, the nature and the demeanor of the conversation is, and they talked about the things that had happened. Imagine their heads were hung low. Amen? But you remember what the angels told the ladies? Remember what he told you? Remember what he told you? It's important that you remember what he told you. Amen. Verse 14, and they talked together of all the things that had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Well, of course, he met Mary in the garden earlier in the morning. And you wonder, where did Jesus go after he left the garden and told Mary? Well, of course, he went and ascended to the Father. We don't know how long that took. That probably took that long. It wasn't a bus trip. It wasn't an airplane ride. So Jesus was in the presence of the Father in the blink of an eye. Isn't that how fast you're going to be there? Yeah. Amen. In the twinkling of an eye, Jesus was in the presence of the Father. It probably took less time, more time for him to ascend, you know, on this day when he ascended out of their sight up to the cloud, than it did for him to arrive in the presence of the Father the day of his resurrection to present himself as having risen sinlessly and to present his blood as a sacrifice for your sin. So he got back probably pretty quick. So he got back. So he said, "Mary, don't touch me. I've got to ascend to my Father. I have not yet ascended to my Father." And so when he shows up here for this episode, I'm betting right after he got back from the Father. So he went to the Father and came back. He joins these fellows. He's probably walking back into town. And he shows up and he joined himself to them. Jesus himself drew near. This is verse 15. And he went with them, these two men, heading for Emmaus. But their eyes were holden. They were disciples, see, apparently, because they should have known him. They should have known Jesus. But their eyes were clouded that they should not know him. So it was by purpose, it was on purpose that Jesus didn't want himself known to them at the moment. And he said to them, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" Well, you see, we see that that what we talked about earlier, their conversation was not joyful and excited about, you know, whether they had not heard yet or they were some of those that did not believe. And he says, "Why are you sad?" In verse 18, and he said, "And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering then said to him, 'Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which are come to pass in these days?' And he said to them," what things? Just drawing them on. It's like, "I'm just a stranger here. What are you talking about?" How many know the Bible is funny sometimes? I mean, Paul does this kind of stuff. He'll throw out a statement that'll just kind of draw you in and get you to say more than you had planned. Get you to fess up to your unbelief, to show you what things you had forgotten and you did not remember. And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people." So they're giving their testimony. They're actually preaching to this stranger. They're telling the testimony of Jesus. "A prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and to have crucified him. We had trusted that," so in other words, well, the devil beat us. You know, he was God's man. But just like all those other prophets, those guys got him. They killed him. And we always trusted in God's new man, but they always managed to shut him down. You ever feel like that? You always seem to manage to get shut down. Well, Jesus never got shut down, did he? Amen? This was known and planned for the beginning. And how the chief, verse 20, "and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we had trusted that it had hoped." We had hoped. We were confident that he should have redeemed Israel. Besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. So same day, day of resurrection. So Jesus went and went to the Father, came back and started walking with these guys. Verse 22 says, "Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the tomb, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. So you see, those guys were in the room when the ladies came. They were right there with them. They're on their way to Emmaus. Which also said that he was alive. 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so, even as the women had said. But they did not see him. Then he said to them, Jesus said to them, okay, guys. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Well, my goodness, this guy's getting a little uppity for just joining them on the road, isn't he? He's taking them to task all of a sudden. What things? What things have happened? And all of a sudden, we find that he knows everything that's happened. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And at the beginning, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them a furlong at a time. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Look over at chapter 9 for a minute. Let's look over at chapter 9 in Luke for just a moment. We're in Luke, so Luke 9 verse 21. Or look at verse 20. Chapter 9, verse 20. And he said to them, but whom say you that I am? And Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. It's amazing. He said that. That's something to remember. And apparently, and it's not the only time he said it, you know. It's just the one we're going to pick out here. And it's not the only time Jesus said it, but we just shut things out. It's too big for my brain. Amen? Is there anything in the Word of God that's too big for your brain? A lot. Lots. Amen. Amen. Just let the Word of God dwell in you richly, like lots. Let it dwell in there. And you know what happens? Is the Holy Spirit begins to transform you and change you. And begins to teach you. Amen. You're putting the Word of God in you. And the Holy Spirit waters it and shines on it. And it brings forth fruit. Amen. The Holy Spirit indwelling you, he brings forth fruit from the Word, the seed. Amen? Hallelujah. And then let's look over to verse, right down the same chapter. Let's look in verse 43. And he says, all those were amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, everyone, at all these things which Jesus said, he said to his disciples, let these sayings sink down into your ears. Listen. Listen carefully. Let these sayings sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. Verse 45 says, but they understood not this saying. And it was hid from them, that they perceived it not. And they feared to ask him of that saying. Interesting. Now, back in chapter 24. So Jesus told them multiple times. And he's relating that here, is that ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And when they drew near to the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Well, it's good to be with you guys. God bless you. We'll see you. next time. But they constrained him, saying, "Brother, abide with us. Stay. Don't leave. We like you. This is good stuff. For it is almost dark. It's evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them, to stay with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. He didn't get up, slip out, didn't excuse himself. He was just very rude. He just disappeared. He vanished out of their sight. He broke the bread. They recognized him and went, "Oh!" And immediately he was gone. Where did he go? Well, let's find out. And they said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered and then that were with them. So they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Remember? I mean, they got there late. I was a long walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. So they get up after dinner and go back. So it took them several hours, you know. So they go back. Verse 34, they came in and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. And they said, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace unto you." Well, that's where he went. I bet he wasn't even out of breath. Read that again. And as they thus spoke, as they were telling their testimony of Jesus sitting down to meet with them and to break the bread, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be to you." But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me have." Well, first of all, here's Jesus, of course. Now, of course, remember last week we read out of John. So this episode with the trip to Emmaus happens in between the morning time and between when Jesus goes to the Father and comes back and the night time, when he shows up with the apostles. And here it is again. Here's him showing up with the apostles. It's not the second time. This is that same time that we read about in John. It's after these guys come in the door with the testimony, and they come in. And he shows them his hands and his feet. He just shows them the prints in his hand. You remember he told Mary, "Don't touch me"? Well, this time, what did he say? He says, "Touch me. Handle me. You know, handle me. Come here. Put your finger in that hole of that finger of that hand. Amen. Come on. You know, this is me. A spirit doesn't have bones and flesh, can't grab him and hug him like you can me." Jesus arrived, and he's not a ghost, and he's not a spirit. He is Jesus, the living man in that new body. Amen? How do you know it's a new body? Because he would come and go without having to use the doors. All of a sudden, he's standing in the midst of, excuse me. You know, he didn't like sneak in and had to push past five people. You know, they're all crowded in there, you know, afraid of the Jews. So they're all packed in this little house. But Jesus appears right in the middle of them. All of a sudden, I was looking at Chad standing there, and all of a sudden, here's Jesus right in front of me. He just arrives. Thank God that Jesus arrives. Amen. You know what? He does that still every day. Huh? Amen. He just shows up. Praise the Lord. He hadn't quit doing that. Jesus just shows up every day. Hallelujah. I believe He shows up every day. I know that He shows up every day. I'm not afraid. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. And verse 39, where am I? Okay, I'm going to read that part again. Behold, my hands and my feet. Look at my hands and my feet. It's me. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, like they didn't know what they believed. You ever been like that? You're just so excited and so happy, you're just beside yourself. You don't know whether you believe or you don't believe. Well, I can't believe it, but here he is. And I'm hugging him and handling him. I still don't believe it in my brain. That's okay. You know you can have doubt in your head and faith in your heart. A lot of you are messed up by that, huh? Don't worry about that part. Don't worry about your head. Don't worry about how your mind doubts some of the things that you read. What was that little song Jim used to sing? Things you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. Well, yes, it is. That's a song about doubt. The thing that you're liable to read in your Bible, it's not necessarily so. Yes, it is. Amen. If it's in there, I can believe it. Then I do believe it. Amen. And while they yet believe, this is verse 41. And while they yet believed not for joy, they believed not for joy, that's a strange statement, and they wondered. And he put another one on them. He said, you got anything to eat? Not only did you know, people got a lot of ideas about ghosts or spirits or something. You know, I guess if you figure, well, if you're that, one of those, and if you eat, it'll just drop on the floor. You know, if you ate something, it'd just fall out or something. And he said to them, do you got anything to eat? Got any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and he ate it right in front of them. And then he said, that's just great fun. How many know Jesus was having fun? And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all the things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Had a little Bible study right there. What did he read? Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. I don't know how late. I mean, it was already late in the evening, wasn't it? I mean, think about that. The guys had been stopped for dinner. They came all the way back to Jerusalem. Jesus met them there. It's already late. And then he has a snack, and then he has a Bible study. I'm just saying. And y'all think y'all had church. You want Pastor Jim to quit in the evening at 7:30. And that was Sunday night. That was already a work day for everybody. You know, the Sabbath is the day before. This is Sunday. So here they are Sunday, and of course then you know, next night they're going to go to work next morning. But they're having a Bible study. And he said to them that, verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ, this is out of Hosea, to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Hello? Jesus calling. And you are witnesses of these things. Just put them on speaker. We'll finish. And behold, I send. Now listen to this. Listen. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry, wait, you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Then in verse 50, it talks about his ascension, but of course that happened 40 days. That happened 40 days later. He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now, remember this night when Jesus came in, what did he? Another thing he did, if you remember over in John chapter 20, it says, I'll read it. In verse 22 of chapter 20 of John, when he had said this, he said, peace be to you, my Father, my Father sent me, so even I send you. Verse 22 says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them. So in that same, that's that same night. Luke didn't discuss it, but this is that same event, is that he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. How many believe that if Jesus said, receive ye, he breathed on them? Pneuma, that means breath. So then he breathed on them. He breathed on them. He actually did it. So he breathed on them and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. How many believe they did? Amen. Receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. And whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. Whoever believes is forgiven. Whosoever believeth not, is not. Now, so he says that. But then, here at the end of this Luke section, he says, wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Don't go anywhere. Yeah. You don't have your passport yet. You don't have any cash. You are ill prepared. Don't go anywhere. It's like American Express. Hate to say this. Don't leave home without it. Don't leave home without the Holy Ghost. Don't leave home without being a dude with power on high. And then of course if you'll turn one page over out of the end of John to the book of Acts, he says in chapter 1, verse 3, these are the disciples to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. That's Acts chapter 1, verse 3. To whom he also showed himself alive after his passion, his death and resurrection, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them, in that meeting together, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he says, you have heard of me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. And then finally they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. He says, but you shall, verse 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. Amen. So right before he left, he told them, don't get excited, don't get ahead of yourself, but wait until you be endued with power from on high. That's at the end of the 40 days. Amen. So he spent 40 days teaching them about the kingdom of God. And then he left. We spent a little longer than 40 days. I think we spent about 40 years teaching about the kingdom of God. But then he left. And he baptized them in the Holy Spirit. And he sent them forth. Amen? Mm-hmm. Carry on. So, amen. After 40 years of teaching, Praise the Lord. Go ye therefore in all the world. It took Jim and me 40 years. You know, Jesus only took 40 days. He's a better teacher. Took me and Pastor Jim 40 years. And then Robert was in there too, you know, but some of y'all know Robert Mowery. So God's good. He's doing great things. Amen. Amen. It's always good to rehearse and because the issue is to remember. Yeah. Amen. To remember what things have been done. To remember what Jesus did. To remember what He commanded us to do. Amen. Mm-hmm. This is so powerful. Renew. So powerful to declare what He has done. Remember these things. Over in boy, kids are fast these days, aren't they? Amen. All right. See, He wanted them to remember those things which He had said. Amen. I want you to remember. Amen. Let's remember these things. Let's daily meditate upon these things. You know, let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. It's the meditation of the words of my mouth and the meditation of your heart. See, a lot of times the meditation of your heart, you begin to meditate on the things that are going wrong instead of what God did that's there to help you, to deliver you, strengthen you, to make you whole. Amen? He's making you whole. And while He makes you whole, He makes you holy. Amen? And you find yourself stumbling into issues and troubles and things. I find myself trying to fix things that I don't need to be trying to myself to fix. A lot of times fixing things leads you into foolishness and leads you into sin. So it is because you're dependent on your own brains rather than depending on the Lord. I want to know what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. I don't want to do things on my own because I'm not very smart. Amen. I got a sin body and a sin brain. You know, I kind of lost some capacity. How many know your? I mean, you used to live 120. Now you may make it to 70 or 80. I mean, things have just kind of deteriorated from the get-go. Amen. And God knows it. This body is consistently passing away. So thank God for the Holy Spirit indwelling you. Let's utilize our relationship with the Holy Ghost and not be ashamed of our feeble body. Amen? I mean, God knows you've got a feeble body and a feeble mind, but that's okay. That's okay because He is there to deliver you and to bring you into His presence. Amen? Now, when I say that, the Holy Spirit is in you. He is there to quicken your mortal body. Amen? Amen. Well, what I'm saying is, many of you, you look at yourself and you're kind of disappointed. Quit doing it. Quit checking your inadequacy. Amen? Don't take a look at how come everything is just not shaping up the way you thought it would or should or the way you thought you should or amen. Quit. It's what a waste of time that is to look at your failure. But to thank God for His mercy and His goodness and His faithfulness. Amen. Enjoy that today. Enjoy it. Enjoy the presence of God. Enjoy His testimony that those things which He promised He is able to perform. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for His resurrection. Thank God for His appearance among us and that He has sent the Holy Spirit to indwell each one of us and that we have a relationship with the Father and that we daily can pray and enter into His presence. You know, it doesn't take 20 minutes. It doesn't take an hour and a half to enter the presence of God. It takes like, remember that twinkling of an eye? That's what it takes. Just say, Father, in Jesus' name. Just when you just call upon the name of the Lord, and He's in your and don't look for something. Don't look for a cloud of smoke. Amen. If you get one, fine. Just don't count on it next time. Don't look for gold teeth. Just thank God that in the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy. Amen. I'm happier than most people I know. You know, for no good reason in this world. That's all right. They do. They hate me. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? People hate you for being happy. Because, you know, they didn't know how to get there, and they'd have to know Jesus to get there, and they don't want to do that. Because then they have to do something. No, you don't have to do anything. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. He loves you. He's having a good time. And He wants you to have a good time too. And so that's why I want you to always be with Him and fellowshipping with Him. Amen. That's it. I'm telling you, that's why He wants you to. Because otherwise you just forget. You go off and wander off in this world and you just forget everything. You know. And you daily, that He commands you to be daily reminded. Amen. And that's what this is about. It's like walking with these guys to Emmaus. Let's have a walk every day to Emmaus. Amen. Yeah. Let's take a little walk with Jesus every single day. And let Him, why, how come you're sad? What's all this stuff you're saying? Don't we do that like every day, you know? I mean, your flesh wants to do that every day. Even though you may catch yourself, but you're just like, well, this and that and the other thing. No. Remember, I've taken care of all of that. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, let's lift our hands and thank You. Father, we just rejoice and give You praise for all of Your fullness, all the glory of God. Shout it out. Hallelujah! Glory to the Lord. Father, we magnify You. Thank You for Your goodness and Your faithfulness to us. Thank You that daily we're joyful, daily we're excited, daily the love of Jesus is flowing through my veins. And I thank You, Lord God, that there is nothing that I fear. There is nothing that shall by any means hurt me. And I give You glory and I give You praise and thank You that You're teaching me and You will never leave me alone. And we give You praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.